is OT with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Welcome, welcome. This is OT with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena on Sportsnet 650, the Smooth Jams edition. We're way up past our bedtime. It's late night. I'm highly caffeinated. I'm Caroline Frolic. Joining me as always, Lindsay Horsting and Lena Sitagian. Lindsay, Lena, hello, good evening.
Hey, hello. Caroline.
How about that Seas game?
Yeah, that went a little long.
It was like Red Sox-Yankees playoff styles, but that's all right. The Seas will, well, hopefully they will come back with a little more oomph in the next games. But we're enjoying the smooth stylings of Tyler Zickle, the new voice of the Seas. Now, coming up on OT tonight, we're going to unpack a whole lot with the Canucks. We want to know what you think. Text us, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. And where do you stand with the Vancouver Canucks? Now, are you team tank or team win? Tank, do you want to see the Canucks lose every game remaining to get the best draft pick? Or are you all about winning? Because losing creates a poor culture, and it doesn't matter where the Canucks pick. You win, you play to win the game. We're ready for your text and to take your calls in just a little bit, 604-280-0650 or on the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Justin Morissette holding it down back in the 650 studio, so light him up with calls and all the things. Right, Justin?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Why not?
Light up endorsement.
Light me up.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Justin. But first, just when you think the Vancouver Canucks had that big dark cloud hanging over them all season, New York Rangers are all, hold my beer.
Oof. Yeah. I mean, I was reading a tweet just before we got on about how the NHL teams seem to be not chasing a Stanley Cup anymore, but who can have the most tire fire of a season in terms of drama?
Hey, that should have been our question of the night. Biggest tire fire in the NHL this season.
Yeah, I mean, things are getting wild in New York, but if there's a city that can handle it, it's New York, right? So, I mean, so much drama. I couldn't believe, I didn't think things were going to escalate like they escalated after that Tom Wilson incident. I thought maybe there's going to be like a retribution fight tonight. But that's it. Like, I didn't think this was going to happen. I don't know. Did you guys expect
the front office was going to be cleared out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the line brawl right at face-off was pretty expected. And, I mean, the players knowing that they'll be getting a $5,000 fine and probably not suspended for it was probably enough motivation for them to not care and just send it.
Yeah, and this has been dissected over and over, but a $5,000 fine for that. Now, Lundqvist squirted water at Sidney Crosby, and he got a $5,000 fine. Kind of not the same as smashing a dude down on the ice that does not have a helmet on. Now, this is Tom Wilson, repeat offender. But that, I'm absolutely stunned that he did not get a suspension or that he didn't at least get fined even a little bit more. But,
well, I mean, that's the price that the PA has set for those types of actions, whether it be a water bottle squirt or what he did to Panarin. I mean, it's hard because, yes, Caroline, you're right. He has quite the reputation of making these reckless moves on ice. But the league can't suspend him on those just the grounds of him being historically a reckless player, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, technically what he did wasn't illegal. So yeah. It's such a fine line. And, I mean, people always argue about how the officiating has to be more consistent, and yet we want this inconsistent punishment for players because, you know, they're known to be dangerous or reckless or be doing these actions. I don't know. It's a hard argument.
Yeah, the cancel culture, I feel like, just generally on Twitter was, you know, people may, who maybe don't really know what's up or what's going on. It's like the same people who want to, like, say, you know, WNBA players should get paid the same as NBA players, and they don't buy tickets to games. They're like, oh, they
Yeah.
Wilson should have been fined or suspended. Rather, he was fined but suspended. And it's like, well, I mean, like Lita said, like, technically it wasn't illegal, so I mean, that's okay. But yeah,
I've seen people
saying like
he should
really
be banned
hyped.
From hockey. Yeah, I've seen people saying he should be banned from the NHL altogether.
Yeah, it was nasty to watch for sure. Does it merit a suspension if it wouldn't merit a suspension for any other player? No, absolutely not. And just because you hate the guy? I don't know. J-Mo, what you thinking about it?
I don't know if you want my thoughts on this one.
Hey, it's late night, Justin. Go for it, man.
I just think
we need a polarizing opinion.
Okay, yes. Lindsay's not incorrect to say that what he did is technically within the letter of the law. But I don't know that it is necessarily within the spirit of the law, right? Like, even within the quote-unquote code, there is a code of honor among this. We talked about it with regards to the Wayne Simmons-Alex Edler fight, for example. Yes, these guys are fighting each other, but there is a level of respect that goes underneath all of that. There is an idea that the person who is across from you is a human being and deserves to be treated as such. I'm not sure that Tom Wilson grabbing a guy by the neck and slamming his head into the ice really fits that description necessarily. I don't think that is how he would like to be treated in kind necessarily. So I think if it's within the spirit of the law, then there might be a problem with the law if that's something that we're willing to accept from players on the ice.
So do unto others as you would do to you, or whatever the saying is.
I don't know that I would say that, because now I'm asking for someone to do it to him now. I would rather just not see this stuff, I think.
And that brings me to my next question. A lot I saw had to do with the fact that Panarin was one of the best players in the league, so Wilson should have been suspended for that. Now, why are you quantifying the victim, so to speak? I mean, what if he was just, you know, a call-up and some kid that plays, what, 4 minutes? Is his life and well-being not as important as Panarin's because he's a star player? So the whole argument of he's the star player, Wilson should get, you know, shot out back, I don't like that, because that sets up a slippery slope, because you're saying that one player's life and livelihood is more important than another just because he's good at the hockey. So if fines and suspensions are being doled out, do we have to look at the points total of the victim now? I think that's a slippery slope.
I think it's more so the fact that the Rangers were clearly not in the race. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about the other day, and attacking a goal scorer versus someone who's, like, with the Edler and Simmons fight, I mean, that was Edler's first NHL fight. Mm-hmm. And Tom Wilson is like 3 times the size of Panarin, so attacking someone half his size, going for him, a goal scorer who isn't known to fight, it's just reckless. I've said that word like 20 times now. But yeah, there is no justifying who you're going to go for. It's just a really dangerous. If his head did hit the ice a little harder, I mean, who knows what could have happened. He is injured for the rest of the season. Mind you, there are only 3 regular season games left. But still, I do get what J-Mo is saying, because I can see both sides for sure. And it's really hard for myself to have any sort of strong opinion. I'm really in the middle with this. It's really hard for me to say, because I'm listening to all sorts of different opinions, and I side with the fact that it's like, okay, yeah, just because Tom Wilson is historically a reckless player, you shouldn't be punishing him on something that is, you know, deemed legal. But again, yeah, there's a fine line of what's legal and what's not. Like, he's making a mockery out of the sport.
Now, what do you think? 650-650, the Dunbar Lumber text line. You can also call us at 604-280-0650. Justin Morissette holding it down in the studio. So let's just recap tonight's game, shall we? And keep in mind that my view is a little bit biased because I'm married into a Capitals-loving family. So I saw emotion from my husband like I haven't seen in many, many years. Now, penalty minutes, 141. 12 fighting majors, 6 misconduct penalties. There was a shot of the Caps penalty box, and they were all just squished in there like little sardines. Hubby loved it. Hubby thinks Tom Wilson is the man, but again, highly biased. Where do we stand on the fighting? I saw a lot of talk on social media. It's an embarrassment to the game. If we want to grow the game in the United States, this is so not how to do it. You're only polarizing the sort of fringe fans even more. And then there's the other school of thought that says, hell yeah, 1970s hockey, LFG. Where do we stand on this, Lena, Lindsay? Justin?
I mean, I feel like it was kind of a novel fight. Like, I haven't seen something like that. Like, I couldn't tell you when the last time I saw 10 guys dropping the gloves and fighting. It doesn't happen very often, I don't think. So, I mean, it was I kind of laughed, to be honest. I was like, oh my gosh, this is wild. Like, things are getting out of control. But I did sort of expect that something, I thought there might be like 2 or 3 isolated fights tonight, not necessarily everybody. If it continued between them, I feel like it might be more of a mockery, but hopefully after this game, it's just kind of one and done.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, 6 fights in just over 4 minutes, and as many players in the penalty box as on the bench. So part of me is like, yes, we'd love to see it. But like, also imagine showing somebody who's never watched hockey this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was fired up. I liked it. Call me crazy. No one got severely injured tonight. Well, I guess Tom Wilson left the game, but with an upper body injury. But I thought it was great. I was standing up on my couch and I was cheering. Maybe I'm in the minority of, hey, I like violence. But you know, yeah, but I do see the point of, if we're trying to grow the game in the States where it's still, you know, 4 out of 4 on the highlight reel, is this going to gain fans or is this going to lose fans? You know, there's that old saying that, you know, everyone's grandpa and drunk uncle says, I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. Mm-hmm. That's the reputation hockey has. But I mean, it has been sort of moving away from the, you know, Dave Semenko's, the, you know, rough and tumble sort of, so to speak. But is tonight's game a black eye, pun intended, on hockey, or is this just part of the game?
Well, I think... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
You go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I think Greg Wyshynski, I think it was him today on Halford and Brough, who was talking about the fact that, of course, the NHL is trying to appeal to a younger generation now. Mm-hmm. And the older generation, and they're not even that old, really, probably in the, you know, like the 40s, 50s range, starting there. Like, they like the fighting. They grew up with it. That's what they're used to. But the younger generation likes the finesse. They're not really into the fighting and the really hard, like, tough stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're trying to get at that younger generation, I would say, like, if what Greg's saying is true, then I would say you kind of got to veer away from it. But then you got to change the game somewhat, right? Like, the rules need to change.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we've said this a number of times on our show that players are getting smaller, faster. It's becoming more skill-based, and the enforcer-type role has really fizzled out and faded out, except for, you know, a number of exceptions that are still left in the league, like a Tom Wilson, like a Ryan Reeves, you know? So, yeah, it's definitely, the game's definitely shifting, and... Yeah, it's hard to, honestly, it was a bit hard to watch.
Now, do we want to see a Tom Wilson or Ryan Reeves-like player on the Canucks?
I think we need one.
I think we need more elite goal scorers. I think we need a more defensive
stellar
depth.
Defensive core.
I think we need more. I mean, the list goes on.
Players that can pass to their own team. Yeah, I mean, that was a loaded question, but I mean, a lot of the one of the knocks I hear on the Canucks is that the Canucks need a tough guy. But I mean, you're right. Canucks maybe should score and defend, but anyway.
Yeah.
I just think you're
not.
I just think you're tempting fate with a night like this, right? Like, technically, you're right. Nothing happened. There was no bad incident. And a night like this where there's just a ton of fights off the hop and it's a big rivalry game, I think the NHL as a league probably does miss that a little bit. They certainly have been trying to create these divisional rivalries by having teams play. I mean, it's technically within their divisions and no one else this year, but like a lot of divisional games in recent years in a normal schedule. But we've seen in Vancouver two horrible examples. You have to go back, you know, close to 20 years now. But like twice in this city, we have seen what frontier justice in hockey looks like. Mm. What those incidents being talked about, you know, on The View, or what getting real mainstream American media coverage looks like in the wake of those things. It's not good. And I do feel like they tempted fate tonight, especially on a night where the storyline should be TJ Oshie's hat trick and not everything else that's going on around it, right? It really reminds me of Trevor Linden set the Canucks' all-time scoring record in the Bertuzzi-Moore game. And nobody really remembers that that's when it happened. He had 2 points on both of the goals that were scored for Vancouver in that game. That's when he broke the record. But it's all lost in the sideshow of everything else, right?
Now, I want to touch on that a little bit further. Of course, TJ Oshie scoring a hat trick, and this is his first game back after he lost his father. So very emotional night for him. But I want to get back to the fighting and the mainstream media coverage. You know that every sports show in the United States is talking about this game. Is any press good press? You know, you're always here. Oh, no, it doesn't matter if they're hating. They're still talking. Is this a good thing for the league? Just getting some press out there?
Probably.
You know, any news is good news.
Yeah, I mean, like, the first thing I thought of when I thought of that fight and then in things blowing up was Jake Paul and all these fights that he's been doing, right, in UFC. Yeah. And it's just kind of like that YouTuber, that young personality coming in and sort of, like, spicing up the sports scene and making people who maybe aren't necessarily sports fans interested. And that's what this whole situation kind of reminded me of. So maybe some press is good press to get people involved, Caroline. I'm not really sure.
I mean, I was just texting with the father-in-law who was just all about it. Again, Caps fan, again, 80 years old. So he was just like, this is 1970s hockey. Where's Harold? Where's Ogie Oglethorpe? Like, he was going on and on. He was just all about it. But I mean, you're right, Justin. I mean, I'm watching the highlights now of when the Caps won the cup, and Oshie got very emotional talking about his father, and apparently he meant a lot to the team as well. So that really should be the story. Oshie scoring a hat trick on his first game back after losing his father, his mentor, his everything. But no, we're never going to talk about this because it's all going to be about Tom Wilson and the hit. It's going to be all about the, 74 minutes of penalties in the first 4 minutes and 14 seconds of the game, something like that. What do you think? 650-650. That's our Dunbar Lumber text line, 604-280-0650. We want to hear from you. Now, Lena, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
I was just going to promote our Dunbar Lumber text line. We've got a few text messages here I would love to read. This is from Flyers Pete. To those who want to grow the game into the United States, why? Look what's happening to our game in the past decades to grow the game into the United States. Going downhill. Again, who cares what the Americans think? Interesting. Ooh. Well, Flyers Pete, I'd like you to elaborate, because I'm not so sure what you mean about the game going downhill.
I didn't think it was going downhill. I mean, a Canadian team hasn't won the cup in years, but anytime one of my American friends or family says, "You guys can win the cup." And I said, "Okay, look at the roster. Without the Canadians, you wouldn't have won. Shut it. You bore me." Yeah. And then that just kind of shuts them right up. But is that what you mean? I'm not sure. Lena, do we have more texts?
If Panarin jumped on my back, I would throw him on the ice too. That's from Ryder. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
This one is pertaining to the team tank. Yes, okay. Lose the rest of the games. They did it for most of the season, sad to say. I mean, the Senators are ahead of the Canucks right now in the standings. Mind you, I'm laughing because obviously more games at hand. They won't be sitting in fifth for much longer than probably a night.
Do we think the Canucks are going to rack up enough points to be sixth in the division? Or does it even matter? You're not in the playoffs. Who cares where you finish? Do you get trophies for placing fifth? Do you get a special award for not being last?
Well, yeah. The only thing is, I just worry about the Canucks getting, like, if they continue to lose and then they get a really good pick, but eventually you're going to have to pay that person, and that's a problem for us. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Justin, where do you stand on Team Tank?
I think the COVID situation just changes that whole dynamic this year, basically, right? Because in a normal year, yes, you do have these combating factions within the fan base arguing for what is best for the overall direction going forward. But right now, like, they're just in a mode where, you know, I'm not looking at them winning out or losing out. It's all about just getting through these games at all. And being able to put this behind you at the end of this. Because, like, let's be honest, this is an insane schedule to play over this month. It would be crazy even if they weren't coming off of an outbreak where the entire team basically got P1 COVID. Like, even in a vacuum, playing this many games in such a short amount of time is so hard on the body and so hard on these guys to do this that I think there's a reason why you haven't really seen that typical narrative get trotted out. I don't see a lot of team tank versus team, you know, at least team try, I guess is what I'll call it, because it's too late to be team playoffs. I think people are just concerned about the well-being of these guys as human beings. And I think that is kind of the right tack, the right mindset in a situation like this one.
Well, I did an interview with the Fan 590 in Toronto over the weekend, and I was expecting to be poop talked, you know, good naturedly, but the overwhelming feeling that I got from them was, congratulations, the team you cover is playing. Oh my gosh. And they were so sympathetic. And I thought, well, yeah, it kind of is a big deal. I think JT Miller coming out to speak on behalf of the Canucks is still the highlight for me. I mean, it takes a lot to admit. It takes a lot of strength to admit when you're not strong. And can you imagine these guys actually saying to JT Miller and their conversations that they had, because it wasn't just JT, obviously, he didn't go rogue. He was speaking on behalf of the team, for these guys to actually admit that, you know what, we're not ready. We're not strong enough. I mean, that takes a lot of strength to me. And I thought that is the win. Once that happened, I was like, you know what? Who cares? Let them lose the rest of the season. Of course, they won those two games against the Leafs, and there was much rejoicing and much trash talking to the friends and fam out east. But still, I mean, team tank, team win. Where do y'all stand on that?
Well, it's interesting you bring up JT Miller, because JT Miller was pretty responsible for last night's loss.
He should get assists on those two goals. I mean, just saying.
But sorry.
I was going to say, speaking of tanking and JT Miller, wherever their first round pick happens to be this offseason, I'm just glad they have one at all. Can you imagine if the team had missed the playoffs last year and had to give up the first this season, and we went through all of the pain of this year with no draft payoff whatsoever?
That would just continue the dark cloud that has hit this season. That would not surprise me with the with just the disaster every day since February, with a couple of bright spots. But really, it's been a dark cloud over the season, like Pigpen and Charlie Brown. It's been a dark cloud over this season.
That would be classic Canucks fashion. And on top of that, I mean, I have a couple of stats to read. Just career highlight points that I want to mention. Anze Kopitar, he's got his 1,000th career point today. Blake Wheeler, Jets, my Jets, putting home the 800th point of his NHL career.
Speaking of Connor, Jets, did you see your Scheifele?
Yep. Connor Hellebuyck. I've got a point to this lead up. Okay. Connor Hellebuyck, third shutout of the season. And the Canucks, potential seventh game losing streak coming up on Thursday, which they have not done since 2018.
I feel like your point was just to depress the fan base even further. I'm like sitting here thinking, this is really bad.
Thanks, Lena. Way to kill the buzz. Just gonna go cry, man, in the bathtub right now. Thanks. No, but I mean, it's just been, it's been a year, man. I mean, those Canucks. I mean, I personally, I'm on team. I mean, I would like to see wins, but I'm just team try really hard. See, this is when I turn into my mom, who's not a sports fan. She just goes, oh, they tried really hard, but they still lost. Oh, but they tried. They're good boys. They tried. This is where I'm at right now. You're showing up after being decimated by this virus. Even if you didn't catch the virus and you were out because of protocol, you still were sitting in your apartment, not training. Like, what are you going to do? Squats to get ready for an NHL hockey game? I'm just on team. Kudos for showing up. Kudos for admitting you couldn't restart when you were supposed to. Kudos for getting the league to listen to you. I'm trying to be like Lindsay and find the silver lining and be positive. But you know what? This team's not making the playoffs. And even if hell froze over and something happened, is this what the Canucks need, is to play more hockey?
Well, the team isn't going to be normal until after the season is done. But, I mean, like we've said in the past, let's not forget the errors that were happening pre-COVID and the errors that are continuing to happen after their COVID outbreak. I mean,
February did this team in.
Yes. I mean, the gift-wrapping goals, the poor puck management, JT Miller gift-wrapping these goals. I mean, we were talking about his center ice pass the other night, did it again the other day. He's caused how many times did Edmonton score in, what was it, 5 minutes?
I lost count. I got PTSD. I blacked out.
This is going to be a really tricky offseason, and I don't even know what to say further than that, because there's a lot of holes that need to be filled, and one hole that definitely was evident was Elias Pettersson's injury and how impactful he is to that team.
I mean, we were talking to The Garage, a podcast, and they asked us about our MVPs of the year. We, you know, Hoglander, Demko came up, but you know what? That just popped into my head. Elias Pettersson, the MVP, because even though he hasn't played, clearly his absence has affected this team in a huge way.
I feel like he had such a rough start that for me, I didn't think of it. But it's funny because, like, you notice when he's gone, the little things that he used to do, even if it didn't make the score sheet. So, that's true, Caroline. I never thought of that. But I was going to say, I think I'm on your side. I think that the Canucks need to try, what was it, what was the poll question? It was try till you die or something like that.
Team tank or team win at all costs?
Team win at all costs, because
I like try till you die.
I like that. I want to get that on a shirt. OT merch, try till you die.
I just think they should finish it out like professionals, do their best. I mean, like Lena, you were saying JT Miller's been gift wrapping these goals, but he also has had a bit of a stinky attitude lately.
Absolutely.
If he can just, like, correct that for the last, just give it all you got. Just do the best you can. Finish it out, because I feel like if they don't, it'll leave a bad taste in their mouth going into the off season.
Yeah, how do you shake this off? Is time going to heal all wounds, so to speak? Are they going to come back for training camp next year, you know, fresh and bouncing around with bells on? Or is this still going to be lingering? Is this going to be the elephant in the room?
Yeah, I mean, Travis Green was asked why JT Miller wasn't benched after those costly mistakes and the turnovers that he caused. And it's interesting. I mean, I'll read what he said. He said, I can bench him, I guess, but I also want to win the game too, and our team wants to win. And I'm the one who makes that call whether to bench him or not, and I didn't. I'll talk to him tomorrow. I'll talk to him before the next game. We'll help him along like we do with all of our players, but I don't worry about JT Miller. He's done a lot of good things for our team since he's got here. He made some mistakes tonight. He's made some before, and he'll make some more mistakes. But this guy wants to win. Make no bones about it. He plays hard, and I'll go to bat for him.
Nice.
Powerful words.
Yeah. He basically dropped the mic there.
It's nice to see them still sticking together, and Travis Green he's still got his players' backs. And I mean, especially for him, who doesn't even have a contract yet, who knows what will happen with him. I really appreciate him finishing it out like a professional the rest of the season, too.
Mm-hmm. And, I lost my train of thought. But can we talk about the rookies or the young kids that are coming up? Has anyone particularly impressed you of the young sort of, I guess, call-ups, the fill-ins? Has anyone really impressed you?
I mean, Jack Rathbone looked pretty good. Like, he looked pretty good. He was only on the ice for about 12 minutes, but people have said he's a great skater, and I definitely hadn't seen it before up until last night. So he's a great skater. He didn't play a ton, but definitely looks promising. And Cole Lind has had some really good moments as well. So, looking ahead, that's kind of a silver lining, being able to see these prospects show out, but it's not looking great for the team.
And we didn't even get to talk about the Abbotsford AHL affiliate now. Hockey coming to BC. But we got a wrap because Basketball Central with Marcus Fitzgerald is coming up in mere moments from now. That was the abbreviated version of OT. Lindsay, Lena, have any final parting words before we head out?
Well, we'll be back on next Tuesday for a longer period of time because, of course, the Seas game ran a little long, so about an hour of our show got cut off, but no problem whatsoever. We'll be back and we'll ramble on next Tuesday, so catch us then. Until then, we will be watching the Canucks game on Thursday. That's tomorrow, isn't it?
I don't know where we are. It's past my bedtime. On that happy note, night, everybody. Basketball Central is coming up next on Sportsnet 650.